Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
And this is Claire McKenna in for Andrea Gilligan this afternoon. And I'm joined in studio by Dr. Nina Burns. We've been talking about boats and living by the sea, but today she's here to talk in her GP side of life. She is from the Generation Health Medical Clinic and she's here now to answer all of your questions. Nina, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Let's get straight to them because there's loads coming in. My partner had a routine blood test at one when he turned 50 and he felt he should check his prostate health. The blood test showed up that his gamma GT levels were extremely high. He's not a heavy drinker, but on the back of that result, he decided to give up drink and has been without alcohol for 2 years plus. He continues to get his blood tests every 6 months and his levels remain very high. He has an ultrasound done along with a colonoscopy because he felt he was losing weight without trying and celiac disease is in his family. But should he be concerned about his gamma GT levels remaining high? What could be causing this? His GP didn't seem to be overly concerned and didn't feel further investigation was needed. She said it may be normal for him. Well, a very proactive guy about his health, it has to be said.
Absolutely. So gamma GT is one of your liver enzymes and different enzymes in the liver are involved in different things. So gamma GT can go up along with another one called alkaline phosphatase if there's congestion in the liver. So, you know, one of the alcohol does push it up, but obviously that's been taken out of the picture. The other thing we think about is gallstones. So I'm assuming the ultrasound didn't show gallstones. But like when they say it's very high, I mean, if it's only slightly up, sometimes that's just where people are. But if you're talking two and three times normal, you would normally check it a bit more, you know, especially if he's other symptoms. So I suppose losing weight unexplainedly, I mean, you can get unusual changes in your gallbladder apart from gallstones, and ultrasounds aren't always the best for picking those up. So you can have like specific scans done of your gallbladder. The other thing that's actually a very common cause of high gamma GT that's not alcohol is fatty liver. So what we call non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is sort of the first step on the road to cirrhosis. So again, if he has some fatty liver, you can get a specific scan done called a FibroScan. So what I would suggest is if the GP doesn't feel that there are any investigations that they would like to undertake, they could certainly refer him to a liver specialist who would have a look and decide if there's anything more to be done. So, you know, if you're losing weight unexplainedly, I would always take that a little bit further, I have to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, good advice. And it may not be something hugely sinister, but, you know, go and find out.
No, there are lots of things that are very manageable, but it's just one of those things. If it's, you know, and I suppose very high to a patient can sometimes mean if they get a result and it's red, whereas sometimes as doctors we look and while it reads high, it's actually only just up a little bit and we're not too worried. And if it stays where it is, we'd say, well, maybe that is their normal and that might be where the GP is coming from. But look, if you're worried, I'd always say if you're worried, you know, just get a second opinion or ask someone to refer you on to somebody to have another look.
Check it out and rule it out. Another says I'm pregnant and I've had a sore throat for over a week. An online GP consultation told me I had tonsillitis and prescribed antibiotics. I sought a second opinion with my own GP when I could get an appointment and he said it's acid reflux. Have been on Gaviscon since, but throat is still sore. Any suggestions?
So there's a couple of things. So I guess it's unclear whether this person took the antibiotic or not, like whether they took the antibiotic and then went to the GP. So, I mean, you know, a bacterial infection of the throat is usually quite obvious when you see it and the symptoms that you would see. So we would give an antibiotic. Certainly reflux is a very common cause of sore throats and Gaviscon can help with that. In pregnancy, all like the progesterone going up can relax all kind of muscles, one being the one at the bottom of your esophagus, so acid comes up easier. So there are some prescription drugs that you can use in pregnancy for reflux, so that might work. But do go back and let the GP have another look. I mean, sometimes if something is really lingering or anything's changed, then we do give an antibiotic. You can take a swab and see, is there a bacterial infection there? The other thing that we kind of forget about sometimes this time of year with hay fever, if there's a lot of dripping into the throat, it can irritate the throat and we're coughing and clearing our throat. And that in itself can irritate your throat and make it sore. So, you know, it's a very old fashioned remedy, that sort of spoon of honey, but things that soothe the throat, taking sips of water instead of clearing your throat can help. But again, if you've ongoing worries, just go back and get checked again. Yep.
I've chronic sinus problems, says another. I don't want to keep taking Sinutab or other decongestions, but they're the only thing that take the edge off. Is there anything else I can do?
So I'm really glad someone asked this because it's a big thing during the summer, the hay fever and sinus congestion. So the problem with taking the likes of Sinutab regularly is when you take it regularly, when you stop it, you get a rebound flare. So it's called rhinitis medicamentosa, and it means that you've got this rhinitis due to the lack of medication. So unfortunately, if you've been using something like Sinutab regularly and you stop it, you're going to have to go through that flare before it settles down. And a lot of people really find that difficult. They get into this vicious cycle.
How many days could that go on for?
Depends on how long you've been using it for, to be honest. But so Sinutab, you should never be taking those kind of medications. So it's one brand of pseudoephedrine. You shouldn't take those for more than 2 or 3 days at a time ever. So things like antihistamines, you know, your pharmacist can well advise you. You can take antihistamines. There's some nasal sprays that you can buy over the counter. And if not going to your GP, sometimes we prescribe higher doses of antihistamines, different antihistamines or nasal sprays like steroid nasal sprays or drops. But unfortunately, it's a really difficult one, that chronic kind of vicious cycle of hay fever. You treat it, it goes away, then you stop the treatment, then it comes back. And I see a lot of people who are addicted is a strong word, but their nasal passages are used to having Sinutab or Sudafed or any of those in the sinuses.
And that's interesting, isn't it? Because, I know sometimes people, for cost reasons, are thinking, I won't go to the GP or that over-the-counter is the way to go and that that there are less issues with that than maybe some of the more serious medications. But that's not necessarily true,
as you proved there. There's a real value in having your regular pharmacy in the same way you have your regular GP, because if you're going in buying the same drug very frequently, then they're going to see it and they should be able to advise you, saying, well, look, you've bought this 3 or 4 times in the last couple of weeks, you know, you might want to get that checked. In the same way we're supposed to ask questions, you know, for sulpidine and that. So it's not like people are drug seeking Sinutab, but their symptoms are flaring quite badly and they're seeking what they think is the treatment. But it's actually becoming this very vicious cycle.
Really good advice there. What are the latest osteoporosis treatments?
So with osteoporosis, I mean, we normally start, obviously, we start with calcium, vitamin D before you've any kind of risk. We look, when someone's diagnosed with osteoporosis, we're looking at their risk of fracture, in their hip or their back. And the most common treatment we start with is a weekly treatment called a bisphosphonate, which is a tablet that basically helps you put the calcium, vitamin D and magnesium back in your bones. Most people can use that for up to 5 years, but there are rules about taking it. And for some people, it just can irritate the stomach and that. So then we usually move on to another injection, denosumab. There is a new version of denosumab that just came out recently. So I don't know if that's maybe where this person has heard about. And then there are some more kind of specialized treatments that are usually used at a hospital level. But in the community level, they're the two main ones that we use. So going to your doctor, you know, making sure your DEXA scans are done. What I would always say is that particularly the bisphosphonates, so Fosamax being one brand that people will be aware of, we usually do recommend taking a break after 5 years. So just, you know, if you've been on it more than 5 years, then it is worth having a conversation about whether you need to take a break, because the benefits actually stay for a little while after. But with the injections, you have to stay on them indefinitely. It's twice a year.
And even though we're down to our final 30 seconds, osteopenia, that's the beginnings of osteoporosis.
That's the early mineral bone loss. So the most important thing for that is like being a good weight. So not underweight, because that's a big problem for your bones, actually. Exercising regularly, not smoking, and making sure you have adequate calcium and vitamin D.
Well, you can find out more about Dr. Nina Burns. She's a GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic, and you also find her online at Dr. Nina Burns. Nina, thank you very much for coming on.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.